Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Justin Elliott, a reporter for Salon.com, where he just wrote the article, The Roots of Bain Capital in El Salvador's Civil War. He previously was a news editor at Talking Points Memo and a reporter at TPM Muckraker. Welcome to Background Briefing, Justin Elliott.
Hi, good to be here.
And your article, The Roots of Bain Capital in El Salvador's Civil War, reveals how Romney tapped El Salvador's wealthy families to start out Bain Capital, including one family linked to right-wing death squads. Apparently, when, as you, the article points out, Justin, when Romney ran in Florida back in 2007, he touted the Central American investors in Bain as he wooed Latino voters down there in a speech at the Miami-Dade Lincoln Day dinner. And he also told the Miami Herald that the investments for the company that I started, Bain Capital, came largely from Latin America. My largest single investors came from El Salvador, Ecuador, Colombia, and Guatemala. And so I feel a deep kinship to people in Latin America. Now that he's releasing his taxes, which won't cover this area, do you think he's going to sing the same tune in Florida this time?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, he's actually been taking a surprisingly hard, sort of more conservative line on immigration issues this cycle. He came out against the DREAM Act, which is the law that would let illegal immigrant children who were brought to this country when they were very young get a path to citizenship. Romney came out hard against that, said he would veto it. I think that you have to see that in the context of the Republican primaries trying to get out to the right of some of his opponents on at least one issue. So you haven't heard him talking about this history with Bain and Latin America so far this time. Maybe he's afraid it's going to alienate Republican voters.
So what happened back in 84 when he started Bain Capital? That was, of course, when the El Salvador Civil War was raging and President Ronald Reagan had called the Contras, the CIA-organized army, that was in Nicaragua, I'm sorry. There was no question that there was a lot of evidence at the time of the activities of the death squads there who murdered the archbishop in a very conspicuous way, and a group of American nuns were also murdered. So give us, that's the brief context. And Mitt Romney steps into this milieu to raise money?
Right. So 1984, Mitt Romney was sort of a star executive at Bain & Company, which at the time was a consulting firm. They would, be hired by companies and do, give advice, do what consultants do. Bain, the founder, his name's Bill Bain, decided that he wanted to start a spin-off company that was going to be a venture capital firm to be called Bain Capital, and Romney was the guy picked to create this. So they, a venture capital firm, you need capital. So they were raising money. The initial fund for Bain Capital was about $35 million. And it turned out there was another Bain executive who had roots in Central America and introduced Romney to a bunch of these very wealthy landowning families from El Salvador at a time when those families were looking for a safe place for investments outside of their country. It was, a phenomenon known as capital flight. Now, I should say we don't actually know all the specific names of the original investors here, but we do know some of the family names, partly because they were reported in the Boston Globe in the early 90s when Romney first entered politics. But as you say, one of the families that we know had several members investing in Bain, and again, this was a significant amount of the original fund, I think about 40% of the outside money in Bain Capital came from Central America. One of the families was the De Sola family. Again, we don't know the specific names of those investors, but we do know that one of their relatives, Orlando De Sola, was sort of this very extremely right-wing figure in El Salvador who was deeply involved in the Arena Party, the right-wing government and military. He was a financier of that party. That party was, of course, deeply involved in the death squads that killed tens of thousands of people over the decade-long civil war. So that's sort of what we know. It's hard to figure out the exact connections because so much about Bain is still secret and probably always will be because it's a very private, secretive company.
And we certainly know about Rainer and its leader, Roberto Dubuisson, a U.S.-trained former intelligence officer who I think a lot of speculation is that he actually ordered the killing of the nuns and the killing of the archbishop, isn't there?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, and it's interesting. Romney at the time was probably already thinking about a future career in politics. I mean, this was 1984 when Bain Capital was founded, and eventually, you know, it was a wildly successful company. It's basically the source of his huge personal fortune, which is estimated in the $250 million range. But even at the time, he was thinking ahead to his political career. I mean, he ended up running for Senate in Massachusetts about 10 years later. And he was worried about the potential political implications of getting this money from Central America because there were these brutal wars going on in a lot of these countries. And, you know, did these families that he was getting money from have, you know, was this clean money, basically, was the question. And he told the Boston Globe in the early 90s that they vetted the families carefully, and they even went to the U.S. government to ask about these families, and the government apparently said that they were clean. But then again, this was the Reagan administration, which was, you know, supporting to the tune of billions of dollars one side in this war. So I don't know that the U.S. government would be the sort of the best way to vet these families. But again, I mean, neither Bain nor the Romney campaign would talk to me for the story, so we still don't know the specific names of the original investors. We know the family names. So we can't really say for sure whether or not this money, you know, where exactly it came from.
Well, but it seems like a fairly fine distinction because El Salvador is run by the 13 families, right, the oligarchs. And they were...
14, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and they were firmly in support of the right-wing government, if not directly financing them. And in many ways, you could argue that it was these oligarchs that led to the revolution in the first place, didn't they? Because of the enormous disparity between them and the campesinos.
Exactly. I mean, that's certainly the context that this came out of. You know, you would have to think, like, what if this money from Bain had come from, say, families involved in the drug trade? I think it would be getting a lot more attention in the mainstream media. I mean, it may still if he's the nominee. But we certainly do know that this is sort of the universe that money came from, and that's something that he was concerned about at the time. It would be nice to figure out the exact connections, the exact involvement of these specific Bain investors in the war, whether they were also using their money to finance some of the human rights, you know, some of the egregious human rights violations. But again, we just don't know at this point. I mean, like, Bain Capital has been described as a black box, and I think that's largely true. I mean, it's not a public company. There's very, very little that they have to release publicly about it. This is the same reason that we can't really assess Romney's claim that he created 100,000 jobs through his Bain investments because we just don't know a lot about what Bain's business has been over the years.
So Bain is the private in private equity.
Exactly.
So again, I'm speaking with Justin Elliott, reporter for Salon.com, where he has an article, The Roots of Bain Capital in El Salvador's Civil War. He previously was a news editor at Talking Points Memo and a reporter for TPM, Mark Raker. So apparently Romney's going to release his tax returns, but not only 2010 and a partial for 2011 on Tuesday. My understanding is that the really interesting ones are the ones that you're talking about in the beginning, starting back in '84. I spoke with one of the country's leading tax experts the other day, David K. Johnston, about it when Romney was twisting in the wind clearly not handling his tax situation very well. I think because he simply is in a bind because I don't think he really wants the public to know about it.
Right. And I mean, this is, sorry, go ahead.
It's going to get your opinion on what his motivations are, what he appears to be hiding, and are the smoking guns in the early ones.
Right. I mean, I think to the last question there, I think the longer back you go with his tax returns, the more interesting it's going to be because, you know, last year he knew he was running for president, and that presumably affected how he paid his taxes because he, at the very least, had in the back of his mind that these are going to have to be released in the context of a campaign. But, I mean, I think what you're seeing here, first of all, is the effect of Gingrich's win, big win in South Carolina yesterday. I mean, Gingrich made an issue of the tax return issue last week. Romney had said very clearly that he was not going to release them, and then he said that he was going to release this year's in April. And now, you know, you've seen at least a partial reversal, saying he's going to release, you know, last year's on Tuesday. You know, his father, George Romney, when he ran for president, released 10 years worth. I think you're going to see, even after Tuesday, you're going to see Gingrich demanding that Romney release more years of his tax returns because Gingrich is going to argue, and he's right about this, that the Obama campaign, if Romney's the nominee, is going to make a big issue out of this. I mean, you know, this guy, as I said, he's worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 million. Wealth inequality in the country is in the news more than ever. The Obama campaign people have already said that they're going to make that a big issue. Tax reform is an issue that people have been talking about. I mean, if Romney has been paying a 15% effective rate, which is what he said at least for last year, and perhaps he even paid something lower than that in previous years, people are going to look at, you know, regular people who make $50,000-$60,000 a year and pay 25% are in that range are going to look at that and, you know, presumably not be happy. And I think, you know, I think it would not be surprising at all if the Obama campaign made a big issue out of this. And in the meantime, the Gingrich campaign just keeps hammering him on releasing more years worth. And I think it'll certainly be interesting to see what specifically these tax returns say, because, you know, it'll be a chance for discussion about the various loopholes and strategies that the super rich use to pay such low taxes.
Well, apparently Romney's already making the hedge fund people nervous. They feel that he's smoking them out. His basic reluctance to release his tax returns don't make no sense. He said, I have to, you know, go over him. But first of all, the guy's been in the financial alchemy business. That's what the private equity and hedge fund people are involved in, is this financial alchemy. So he can certainly use financial alchemy on his returns. But the long and the short of it is it's a bogus excuse, because all you need to get your old tax returns out is a Xerox machine and a fax. It should take 10 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, like, look, the decision about when and how many to release, how many years of tax returns to release, I mean, you can accurately view it as just purely political based on the campaign strategy and so on. But look, I mean, there's another outstanding issue here, which is it came out last week that Romney has some amount of money in the millions of dollars in Cayman Islands accounts. And that was first reported by ABC last week, and the details of it are still sort of unclear. The Romney people say that he was getting no tax advantage from this money, but, you know, people here, from having this money in the Cayman Islands, but people here, Cayman Islands accounts and, you know, $20 million or whatever he has in there.
Yeah, but the excuse made no sense, Justin. He said that, you know, it's the same as having your money here. Well, why the hell did he have it there? You know.
Well, exactly, and that question has not really been answered by anyone, partly because we just don't have all the information about why it was there and what the situation with how that money was being taxed has been. So I think that, again, is something that could easily come up in the general election if Romney is the nominee. I mean, why he had this money in the Cayman Islands, given that he's been running for president for essentially 6 years, is sort of boggles my mind, because, you know, he's just as a matter of politics, you know that this sort of thing is going to come up. So it seems like a blunder on his part.
Well, clearly there's a lot more to learn about Mitt Romney and his finances. I just had to retract some stuff that a guest said on Thursday, tying Romney's church, the Mormon church, to a First Amendment issue, saying that Romney somehow was vulnerable. As a bishop, he would therefore be taking orders from the Mormon hierarchy. And that turns out to be bogus, because a bishop isn't anything like it does in the Catholic context. His father was born in Mexico. As Romney said the other night in South Carolina, he mentioned his father was born in Mexico. Well, haven't you noticed how the Republicans are jumping on Obama, saying he has a fake birth certificate and was born in Kenya? Nobody's.
Right. I mean,
how did he run for president if he's born in Mexico? And the other thing that's fascinating about the Romneys is the entire family are illegal immigrants. I mean, they came from Mexico illegally into America. That's my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not familiar with that part of the history. That may well be true, but I do know that the issue of George Romney, his father having been born in Mexico, came up in 1968 when George Romney was running for president, and for a brief period, he was, I think, the front runner for the Republican nomination before his campaign sort of flamed out. But that came up with the whole issue of whether he was constitutionally eligible to be president. It's certainly an interesting issue. And I mean, talking about the Mormon church, another thing that I think is will definitely get more attention if Romney's a nominee is the fact that, you know, it's very important for Mormons to tithe to the church, and Romney has been a faithful tither, and he's been giving, you know, millions and millions of dollars to the church in the last few years, I mean, going back many years. So in some ways, I think that sort of makes it fair game to look at, you know, at the very least, his role in the church and perhaps even the church itself, given how much money he's giving to the institution.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Justin Elliott.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Justin Elliott, who's a reporter for Salon.com, where he just wrote the article, The Roots of Bank Capital in El Salvador's Civil War. He previously was a news editor at Talking Points Memo and a reporter for TPM Muckraker. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the political soap opera that is Pakistan.
That's how we start the show. Eagle soar and oil flow. You didn't decide what you chose. We will pay back what they owe. Time depends from who you sold. We cheer for the villains though. Hustling, bustling, getting low. Motion is perpetual. We call drill to give and go. All you reap is what you sow.